The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Pete, have you had a sunbed?
Do I look really brown?
You look tanned. I feel envious.
I have had a sunbed, yes.
You look very healthy and fresh.
Well, it was because, obviously, this lockdown thing has not been kind to many of us, and I was starting to look like I had jaundice. So I thought I'd go for a sunbed and try and regain some sort of physical aesthetic pleasingness for other people. And actually, what it looks like now is a baked bean in a baseball cap.
No, you don't. You look lovely. You look fresh. And you were your teeth look very white as well. You're just gleaming.
Just gleaming.
Look at you.
This week's show then, what are we doing?
Yes. Well, so if case nobody knows, this is FUBAR Radio. We every week talk to some celebrity guests. And this week we're going to be talking to the lovely Grace Campbell. And she is going to be talking about shame. Shame, shame, shame.
Something that me and Cece feel regularly, especially if you have heard any of our previous episodes.
Go on. No, you carry on with you. Go on, I love this.
So we've also got Love the Way You Lie game that we play every week. And this week we've got listeners' questions and advice, but we actually have them live.
Boom.
We've actually got listeners live today. But before we do all that, I want to bring a new part to the show.
Oh, go on then.
So every week we discuss loads of different things, loads of things we probably shouldn't discuss on FUBAR or in front of other people, but we do it anyway. So it gave me an idea that I thought maybe we should have a section in called the Dating Sext Book.
Interesting.
So this is basically, it's going to be my take. Every week I'm going to bring you a new phrase or a new word that relates to dating and explain it to you, because I feel like we do a lot of learning on this show. It's not just about fun times and advice. We like to entertain, but we also like to teach.
So I feel like I'm going to be taught a lesson right now. If this is coming from you and it's called the Sext Book, okay, I'm going to prepare
myself. You say you're going to be taught a lesson, and ordinarily before we started this show however many weeks ago, I thought maybe I would teach you a thing or two. But as it turns out, you know a lot more than people think. So imagine some of these things you're going to know, you just didn't know it was called that.
Okay, so what do I do now? Do I play it cool, or do I reveal that I'm really, you know, pro? Yeah, know that already. Done, bitch.
I think you should just carry on as you are and just overshare the shit out of your life, because evidently we all enjoy it. It's my favourite thing.
Every single week. Do you know, I surprise myself and I think, I haven't told that story in a very long time. That usually comes out, you know, at the pub. And here I am with you, Pete, with all our lovely listeners, just sharing, oversharing.
But what are we?
In the circle of trust that you keep saying.
We are the circle of trust. Glad you got that, because that could have been awkward with that.
No, I understand you now, these gestures, yeah.
Anyway, so Pete's Dating Sext Book.
Oh, God, I need a pen. Go on.
The first phrase we have this week is Scotch egging. Any ideas?
I can't tell you. I'm a pro on this. No. Scotch egging.
So right. The first definition for Scotch egging, and listen, guys, honestly, like CC, pick up a pen and paper, because this is going to change your life, this segment. So definition one for Scotch egging is to shoot your jizz onto your partner's breasts, then empty the contents of an ashtray over them. I'll move on to definition in two before you give us an opinion.
There's two definitions to it.
Yes, there's two definitions, babe. I'm not doing this half-assed.
Okay.
I want you to fully understand Scotch egging.
So just to check, someone comes on someone's chest, so shoots their load onto someone's chest.
Blow your fucking bollocks all over her tits. Yeah.
And then pour an ashtray on top just to make sure that it's stuck and sticky.
Do you know what I mean? There's something for everyone in that.
Right.
Definition two is to use somebody as a pen pal or telephone buddy with no intention of ever meeting them in real life, often deceitfully, and most commonly with online dating. So that's basically passing the time with someone is also Scotch egging.
I think I quite prefer the second definition.
I can tell by your face you're lying. So I'm even going to give you examples, all right?
Oh, right, great.
So this is an example. I'm growing rather fond of Matthew, but I think he's Scotch egging me. Why do you think you're being Scotch egged by him? He calls me every other night, but claims he's too busy to meet. Classic Scotch egg behaviour. Do you see what I'm saying here? First definition, I think, is self-explanatory. I don't need to explain that.
Actually, I'd quite like some interpretation of it. It's
okay, all right.
For anyone that doesn't understand.
All right. Last night, Darren shot his load all over my tits, rubbed it in, and then pulled an ashtray on me. I absolutely loved it. I smelt like Doc Cotton for the next week. There's an example of Scotch egging in the first definition.
That's good.
Thank you. The second definition, I think, is probably the more common one, because I don't know that many people that enjoy spunk and ashtray content.
So the second definition
is more, especially now through lockdown with online dating and all that sort of stuff, it's basically ghosting, semi-ghosting someone. So it's the intention of, or making out you've got the intention of seeing someone, but never actually getting around to it because you're not that interested, but they pass the time when you're bored.
Do you know, someone did that to me and they kind of broke my heart a little bit. I was 18, I'd met them on holiday and we did like the whole pen pal thing, but it was obviously email pal, whatever you want to call that, for about 6 months. And then I remember
when you were 18, it was probably carrier pigeon.
I'm not going to rise to it.
You look great for your age though, babe, honestly.
Thank you, I'm 24. So when I was 18, only 6 years ago, yeah, it happened to me. And I remember asking my dad if this guy could stay over. And it was like a big deal to have a boy stay over, and somehow convinced him. And this guy never turned up. I went and bought some new gloves. I was at the train station. So I do know how that feels.
Okay, there's a couple of points here. Firstly, that is classic Scotch egg behaviour.
Yeah.
Secondly, what relevance do new gloves have to the story?
Well, so me and
what were you planning on doing with these gloves? Was this something that when you were younger, you used to like wanking people off with gloves on or something?
No, that was later on I got into that. But when I was 18, I was still quite naive. So me and my sister had this idea that it would look really lovely if I was sat at the train station drinking a hot chocolate with these really nice cream gloves on, and I can just be like looking and not looking, you know, knowing he's coming. So I sat like that for about 15 minutes thinking the train will pull up and he'll just be like, oh, she's just amazing. And
aren't her gloves lovely?
Yeah. And he didn't turn up, so I took the gloves back.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So he never turned up. So you took the gloves back. Right. I think all of us, including yourself, should just have maybe 3 seconds of silence and a little time out. So just give us 3 seconds just of...
I think I've had too much coffee.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. Can we move on? I like this segment, but I feel like it's the stitch up. It's going to be the stitch up every week, isn't it?
Do you think we should call it Pete's Stitch Up of Sisu?
Yeah. Yeah. Textbook, it doesn't really...
Before we move on, is Scotch egging in the first definition something you'd try?
I don't like the smell of an ashtray, so no.
Right, okay, fair enough. I mean, don't knock it till you tried it, babe. So, should we move on? This is going to be a new thing every week, so listen, hold your fucking horses. I know
you're all
there, excited, thrilled, on the edge of your chair until next week, but you're going to have to wait till next week for Pete's next sexbook definition.
Oh, God. Can we go on to dating stories? Because this doesn't revolve me or my stories. It's someone else's.
And I'm excited about this week's dating stories.
Oh, God.
We're just going to do the one this week. And it is an old fan favourite. Take it away.
This guy, I don't know why he hasn't been on the show yet. So if any of you have listened to our first couple of episodes, Yuri, the bodybuilder, I mean, what a guy. So let's just explain a bit about Yuri. So Yuri's been living with a drama-fueled life during lockdown. He married a sex doll before divorcing. Oh, sorry, hang on. He married her. Before divorcing her, he cheated on her. The plastic kind of cheating while she was being repaired, and now he's in a throuple. Is that actually a thing?
A throuple. That's three of them. A menage a trois.
Okay, a throuple with two new dolls who have fallen in love. He has revealed that the dolls, Luna and Lola, that sounds like a dog's name, are getting on pretty well.
It's Yuri, it fucking could be.
And you're very right. They're getting on pretty well, and he gives them, oh my God, he gives them alone time together without him. Despite them having their own relationship, Yuri mainly enjoys spending time together as a throuple. When recently asked how the dolls differ from living women, Yuri said, in addition to the fact that she can be...
I can't wait for you to say this.
Oh, my God. In addition to the fact that she can be for a long time in different poses and you can realise a variety of fantasies, she also has a unique pussy. Ah, oh, just to remind you that Lola has a woman's head and a chicken's body. So hang on, is this him fucking the chicken? See, I can't even talk about that video. I remember listening to that sound of him fucking a chicken. No, he wasn't actually fucking a chicken, was he? At that point, he was just stroking it.
Well, yeah, and basically, so Lola, who has now fallen in love with Luna, his other sex doll, is effectively, it's a woman's head and a chicken's body. So you might think to yourself, if it's a chicken's body, how do you fuck that? Well, I will tell you. Basically, the chicken's body has a navel that has some serious depth and can be used as a vagina, and his penis is inserted into it. So that's what he means by Lola, the woman-headed chicken body, has a unique pussy, because actually she doesn't have a pussy. She has a navel he fucks.
I think I take it back when I say I want him on the show.
I want him on the show even more than ever, if I'm honest with you. Yuri is just one of life's anomalies, isn't he? Yuri's like the eighth wonder of the world.
I can't work out, I mean, because there's a part of me that genuinely believes that he is serious. And I actually looked at his Instagram as well, and it's quite...
Did you follow? Did you give him a follow?
Didn't give him a follow. But it doesn't mean I don't look. Yeah. So I still stalk. But it's like...
Like to point out to listeners that, yes, Cece Coleman, the glamorous, fabulous waitress from First Dates, fitness guru, is stalking a man who fucks dead chicken. That's not clickbait, then I don't know what is.
You should be my PR. That was really well done.
Thank you, babe. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
namaste.
You.
Namaste.
Namaste with all the stays. Wow. But I do follow, I don't follow him. I do look at his stuff. I don't follow him. And he speaks really good English. Like, as in the writing, it's like, you know, it's grammar, it's perfect. And it just makes me wonder. I'm more intrigued by him now because it is so perfect. So it makes me think, is it him doing his Instagram or is someone, you know, is this all a bit of fun?
I mean, it's definitely a bit
fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun for him because you don't know fun until you fucked the navel of a blow up chicken. So, listen, guys, I don't think there's too much we can really say about Yuri and his sexual exploits and relationship. So no, we're just going to leave that with you and let you make your own minds up.
Let's move on to the subject because this could tie nicely. Shame.
Shame. Why would you be shameful of that?
Exactly. Do you think he feels ashamed?
If he doesn't, he should.
Yeah, he should. Perfect.
So yes, shame. Tell us about shame, Cece. Tell us about shame, because I imagine it's something you've got some experience with.
Do you know what? Shame is actually a really interesting one because I relate that to guilt. So I get confused. But actually, shame isn't guilt. So it's important to know that shame is different to guilt or embarrassment. We may feel guilt based on something we did, but shame is a feeling bad about ourselves or who we are. Guilt can fade over time, but shame stays with us.
And I think shame, when it comes to dating and relationships and all that sort of stuff, is it's a belief that we're not valuable and that somehow we're flawed and perhaps not worthy of love or happiness, which, if you go back to our chat with DJ Fat Tony, there was a lot of shame involved in that conversation because he repeatedly said, and you know, I've said it before, sometimes the feeling of not being worthy of the love someone's given you, which is not, shame is not something I would ordinarily in my head think that that is, but apparently that is exactly what that is.
Exactly. And I think also, I mean, have you ever been in a situation where a partner's maybe made you feel shame or said something to you to make you feel shame?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and again, that may come down to some of the other topics. I think it covers quite a few of the topics we've already spoken about in terms of, that, you know, if you're with a partner that, you know, puts you down nonstop or whatever else, you may start to become what they say you are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because they are shaming you into believing that that's who you are rather than actually letting you and allowing you to be the person that you authentically are.
That's a very negative road to go down, isn't it? Because once you do hear something so many times, you know, I mean, you know, the easiest thing that guys will say to a girl is, you know, we'll act a certain way and they'll go, oh my God, you're crazy. You know, oh, she's acting crazy. And it's really frustrating for women because you think, oh my God, I'm really not acting crazy. I'm probably acting the way I should be acting to this situation. But it's much easier to just label a woman, you're crazy. And then we do start to think, well, actually, am I? Is it me? Am I the problem? It's
it's a bit gaslighty.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Funny enough, I've got a little story about a friend of mine. He's a friend who recently, a few months ago, started seeing a girl. And I'm not one. Everyone's got a past. We've all got a past when it comes to different things. And I generally, if I meet someone, couldn't give a fuck about their past. I give a fuck about what's now, the present, the future, whatever. I've got a friend who's completely and utterly hung up on whoever he sees, their past. And he asked the girl how many people she'd slept with. Now, why you would ever want to know that, I don't know. I don't think it really matters, and I don't think it's important. For him, it's something that he needs to know. The girl told him, and it was what I would consider a fairly normal number. Mm-hmm. He absolutely lost the plot about the fact that she used to be a slag, used to be this, used to be that. And when he was telling me the story, I thought, my God, that is a perfect example of shame. And I said, you didn't say this to her. And he went, well, I did tell her it's a fucking lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, who, like what sort of girl does it? And I thought that is a prime example of shaming someone because, you know, regardless of her feelings on that, if you start seeing someone you really like and then they start dismissing your previous behaviours or whatever else, in a way you're shaming them to believing that that's not right what you've done previously. That doesn't start any relationship on a good note, does it?
No, but that is, God, it really does tie into so many things we've talked about, especially self-sabotage, because I think that's quite a common thing for when you first meet somebody, you know, and it's all like, oh, anything goes, it's fun. And then you do get to that sort of 2-3 month period where you really start to like someone. And there's like a change where you think, I'm going to really start to like you. So before I get there, let me see if I can just fuck this up a little bit and self-sabotage and then start asking those questions. So, you know, babe, actually, how many people have you slept with? And then you get the answers, you know, they're not going to, whatever answer it's going to be, 10, 15, 100, no answer is going to be a nice answer because no one really wants to think about that kind of stuff. But that goes into self-sabotage, which then, of course, makes the other person feel shame.
But also, I think it may be the fact that, you know, the friend that I'm talking about maybe feels some shame in himself, that he doesn't feel like he's worthy. Like you say, that leads on to self-sabotage because maybe, you know, sometimes when we do meet people, we look for the reasons why things aren't going to work. And maybe that is because we don't feel like we deserve to be loved. So you do fuck things up on purpose. So I think shame covers a real broad thing, and it's not just, for example, when we first spoke about this topic, or when you and I first had this idea to do this topic, we both had an idea that shame is completely different to what actually the research and the definitions of it in a relationship are. So I think for anyone listening, you're probably not expecting shame to be exactly what you think your first thought of it is.
Yeah, I mean, well, my immediate thought is not, I can't think of a specific time in my life to think, oh, have I felt shame or have I shamed someone else? But guilt, if it's to do, you know, guilt, my God, like many, many a time. And the worthiness, I think that comes up a lot because throughout your stages of your life, you know, depending if you've had whatever's gone on in life or bad boyfriends, you know, maybe saying things to you. I've definitely had moments where I think maybe I'm just not, if someone said you're crazy, you think, well, maybe I am crazy. Maybe I'm too fucked up to love again. So that comes back to self-worth.
And I think, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think it does touch on a number of different things. And it's quite a broad term. In terms of me, I've definitely felt shame in a relationship before, based on the fact that I did something wrong and then spent a long time trying to make up for that because I was ashamed and felt shameful about my behaviour, but I then allowed someone to treat me a completely different way because I feel like I deserved it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's sort of self-sabotage though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's two ways, but initially it was my fault, and the way I felt about how I'd acted towards something meant that I was allowing something else purely because I felt shame about my own actions.
Yeah.
But listen, we need someone to tell us a little bit more about this and talk to people in a less chaotic way than we do.
Should we get our guest on?
Introduce her for us, Cece. Do your ting.
My ting. So we're going to bring on the lovely Grace Campbell. She is a comedian, a writer, a podcaster, and an activist. I've actually had a look at her Instagram and oh my God, I was wetting myself. She really is quite funny. So please welcome Grace.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm enjoying the sunshine, you know.
Grace, before we start anything else, I'm gonna get it out there. Your hair is fucking fabulous.
Isn't it?
Oh my God, thank you so much. Wow. It is looking like particularly amazing today.
It is fucking fabulous. I'm glad I've got all mine tied up. I'm all over that.
Is this your natural curl?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I get out of the shower, I have to do that. And it goes like this.
Oh, that is
That's
just...
all we have to do is go like that and then boom.
I just go like that and I put this amazing coconut stuff in my hair, which means that boys always like want to get with me because my hair always smells like so
you know what?
Fresh.
Do you know what, Grace? I put this coconut stuff in my hair and I do wonder why boys always want to get with me. But now that must be what it is because I think I'm attracting the wrong people. So maybe I need to try something else so that the birds want it and the birds.
Grace, I've got to say, I've been looking at your Instagram and oh my God, you crack me up. I've been looking at those little short videos that you've been putting up about what it means, what type of guy you're dating by his drink. I was wetting myself. So thank you for that. Pete, what do you drink?
Pete,
what's your go-to drink on a date?
On a date, rum. I drink dark rum. So I don't.
What does that mean? Well, what is he?
I would say
a complete wanker.
No, not in my experience. I would say dark rum. You're going to be cool, probably going to be good in bed. This was me judging what people drink as lovers, like predicting from their drinks what they're going to be like as lovers. Rum makes you, you know, a bit like spicy and exciting, whereas like beer makes you fart, wine makes you sleepy. So like people who drink red wine on a date aren't going to fuck you tonight.
So Grace, if I drinking rum on a date, am I giving off big dick energy?
I think so. I would say, what do you have it with?
I have neat with an ice cube.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Thank you. It's a shame that I'm hung like a goldfish, but we'll move on. Right, so what we do with the guests before we get into the topic this week and do all the other stuff, we're going to do some quick fire questions. All right. Cece, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so date night in or date night out?
Well, is this like COVID doesn't exist?
Yeah, fuck COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Date night out for sure.
Kissing or cuddling?
That's really hard, but probably kissing. I love kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Receiving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person, but I must say that's not happened for a while. I usually meet people online.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream job.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point. I don't like small talk and I don't really like flirting.
No dicking about, just straight in.
No, I just say, hello, I like you. Do you want to go?
Nice. Oh, like it.
Nice and simple. Love that. Why can't we go back to stuff like that? We have come up with all this crap. Big spoon or little spoon?
I love to be little spoon, but then also when I sleep, this is so gross, right? But I'm just going to say it. And like, I've just broken up with someone and he would absolutely hate it if I said this on anything. But I love being...
Do it anyway.
Spoon. Here she goes, yeah.
I love being big spoon because then I can fart.
I did not expect that.
Grace,
I can
really...
fart like shame-free.
I'm absolutely over the moon now that you are now in mine and Cece's circle of trust. Me and Cece, it's just think it's just us three and not thousands of people listening. Last one, single or taken? You just said it there.
Yeah, my current status is I'm between boyfriends right now. That's what I'm saying.
Between boyfriends, yeah.
These are great. I'm going to use these. These are brilliant little isms you've got.
Between boyfriends is the best thing because I am between boyfriends. I had a massive breakup, then I got with someone else, now I've just had another breakup. And I'm like, you know, might get back with one of them, might not. We'll see.
But do you know what? It also, you could take that the wrong way because between boyfriends could mean that you're in like a menage a trois.
I know. Well, people want to think that, they can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In my head, Grace, I'm imagining that. So, should we move on?
Grace, so we'd love to talk to you a little bit about shame, which I know that you have written you've written a book on, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, I'm a comedian, and then I was like, well, I sort of was thinking in my comedy, as you've probably gotten from my personal vibe, it's talking about things that I don't think we should be embarrassed to talk about. And like, I think it's wild to me that like there are things like masturbation or even farting in bed, you know, like all of that shit that like I've been made to feel disgusting or like too much by men in particular, and just like by the world. So the book is a sort of funny, I guess, memoir, sort of manual on like how I came to be someone who doesn't experience that kind of shame. Obviously, I get shame in that, like, if I get really fucked and call an ex, I'm not going to wake up and think, God, Grace, so proud of you. You know, I still have that thing of like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't let those feelings linger. I'm very much like, right, that happened, let's move on. Like, we'll learn from it, but let's not dwell on things that have happened. And it's basically that. And it's like all of the things. I wanted it to be something that could make young women feel less alone, especially, but also like, I wanted people to be able to read it and be like, oh my God, I'm completely normal. Like all of these things, like, you know, shameful things, which are not great, like reading your boyfriend's phone or like having paranoid thoughts about people cheating on you. That's not a healthy thing, but it's fine if you have it and you should say it out loud because it will make you feel less shame, if that makes sense.
Do you think it's something that as you've got older or kind of been through those experiences that you've learned not to dwell on stuff? Is there a way that you've learned not to dwell on it? Whereas previously you might have sat and thought, fuck, and then worried about it forever long, like, shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have done that.
Oh my God, completely. Like,
so how do you move on? How do you now not dwell on that?
I think it's muscle memory. So I think when you've experienced something once and then you deal with it in a really bad way, for example, when I was younger, whenever I got rejected by a man, which was actually like a lot because like all of these obvious reasons, like
not with fucking hair like that, babe.
But with like, especially late teens, early 20s boys, like mentally that they're like 7 years old. And so I just was too much for all of these people. But whenever I experienced rejection then, it would make me like feel so insecure and it would trigger this thing in me. And then I'd go out and I'd get really fucked and I'd end up sleeping with someone else who then made me feel more shit. And because I have that muscle memory of actually that was a really bad way of dealing with things because it never made me feel better. It always made me feel worse. Mm-hmm. Now I know when that happens, I just say, it's a bit like developing a healthy relationship with alcohol or anything like that. I know that this isn't going to make me feel good tomorrow, so I'm not going to do it today. And that's just, I guess it comes with age. I guess it comes with like really saying, I'm going to learn from things that have happened to me. I'm going to take advice. I'm going to use the insight that I get from my own experiences and make sure that doesn't happen again.
It's interesting you say actually about the rejection thing and you would perhaps blame yourself or wonder what's wrong with you. And because I think the research has shown that women typically will blame themselves and shame themselves and stuff, whereas men will automatically, if they get rejected by a bird, oh, there's something wrong with her. She's obviously a lesbian or there's something, do you know what I mean? There is something wrong with her, whereas a woman would perhaps look at you like, fuck me, what's wrong with me? Which is quite interesting.
It is so interesting. This is something I've really observed. And actually now, like, that's what I say to myself. If something doesn't go right in a relationship, I'm like, oh, probably something they're going through. Because we're always told to be like, oh, it's like, I'm too mad, or I'm too fat, or I farted too much in sex, or whatever. Like, you look back on a relationship and you're
so
like,
oh, farted too much in sex.
Well, I have famously...
Grace, how much do you fart during sex?
I'm not out of the bum. We're talking about fanny farts, queefs, you know.
Queefs. Oh, I mean, that's fine. I mean, to be honest with you,
fanny
farts like
don't smell. They don't smell. It's just air.
Yeah, and I quite like that because it means you're pushing in the right direction, literally.
Oh, God. For fuck's sake. Where were we?
I don't know.
I think we left it on queef.
it's that I now try not to say this is my fault, basically.
Going back to the relationship you know, when you're saying you come into an end of a relationship and you're made to feel that maybe, or you're rejected and then you're made to feel that it's your fault, and, you know, and then like Pete said, that guys are like, wow, must be something wrong with her, you know, not me. But there, isn't that a fine line? Because if I was to blame everyone else and not take some type of responsibility or not take the lesson, because I'm always about, let me see what I can learn from this. Like there must mm-hmm. be something I'm doing in this. That sort of, you know, where, how do you get there? Where is the line on that then, between taking a bit of responsibility, but also...
And not being... Because I think the problem with, no offence, Pete, but like a lot of men are... they don't like to take responsibility. They don't like to stop and think about what they've done in situations. I've gone through this so many times with boyfriends. Like, I will take so much shit because I'm like, I want to be with you. I'm going to put up with all of these things. But when I then say, this has really upset me, they just, I mean, I've had it, experienced it so many times. They'll just turn around and be like, oh no, I didn't do that. Or that was your fault. You made me feel that way. Mm-hmm. Men have this kind of reject.
I read so many of these quotes and it always stands out so clearly to me, because it's like the friendship circle I'm in, we're out there doing our yoga, doing our affirmations, doing our self-love webinars, doing our therapy, doing all these things to work on ourselves. And then we go and date someone who says, you're just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, what work are you doing?
No, I know. I think the key is in that, and honestly, I relate to all of that so much. I've decided I'm never going to be with someone who isn't willing to do therapy, because I have been in situations with men where I'm like, I'm doing therapy and I'm paying loads of money to do therapy and I'm basically doing couples therapy, you're just not there.
I'm doing
about you and how fucking difficult you're making my life, but you're not coming because you think therapy is lame and you think men don't do therapy. And so that's one thing that I would say, and I think we need to like really encourage more men to like talk about therapy and take on that self-improvement. But also, it's that, coming back to your original point, Cece, is like, we as women need to stop taking all of the blame. You know, we need to remember that, like, and I've started doing this all the time, like when I have a fallout with a man, or I sound like I have terrible relationships, just to,
have you been happy in any of your relationships?
Oh yeah, I'm always happy until I'm not. I'm like, no, next.
That's like me, I always tell the truth until I lie. Yeah.
But you have to be like, didn't work, he's a dickhead, you know, thank you, next. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there will be many more, but, and I've decided I'm not going to ever settle with someone who will like point blank not say that they'll never do therapy or couples therapy, because I just think it's a massive red flag, to be honest.
What do you feel about that, Pete? And that's not trying to put you on the spot or stitch you up, FYI.
Yeah, fucking
totally am.
What, you two ganging up totally on me, fuckers?
Come on, Pete, let's go.
Well, listen, we've spoken before, obviously, Cece, and I'm quite aware of my own flaws and whatever else. I think you'll probably agree with that, Cece, no?
Yeah, well, you're very good at, like, self-analysing and you're very honest about it as well.
Yeah, I'm not very good at talking about things and talking about feelings and all that sort of stuff, but I'm quite aware of a lot of my own flaws. But instantly, if someone said to me, you know, I'm not happy to date you unless you're doing therapy, I'll be put off, because I still don't like the idea of therapy. And that's purely based on the fact that it makes me uncomfortable, which I know is not the right thing, because therapy would and should help everyone. Do you know what I mean? It probably would help me, but I would be put off by that, just purely based on the fact that I'd think the pressure of, fuck me, now I've got to go therapy. And I think blokes are the same. It's the idea of even the word therapy, you think, oh, for fuck's sake, because it's almost like you don't want someone to look at you and then tell you all the things, because you think, fuck me, they're going to have a field day. I always say this, if I went to a therapist, fuck me, they'd have a field day. They'd have to clear the client roster and I'd be there every fucking day for 8 hours a day on the couch and then telling me, you are fucked, mate. So I think for geezers, it's a bit like, you kind of, it's a scary fucking thing. The whole idea of therapy is fucking scary.
I agree. And also, look, not everyone needs to do therapy. And that's sort of not what I'm saying. I wouldn't go on a first date and say, like, would you ever do therapy?
I booked us in on a second date with...
But if problems start to arise...
Yeah.
And then they're not... And then they're completely shutting that down. That, to me, is a bit bug out. Because I'm like, you know, I can't be, my problem with men is that they always, instead of getting a therapist, make their girlfriends their therapist. So like, they won't talk to their boys, they won't talk to their family, they'll talk to their girlfriends, and their girlfriends aren't getting paid for that. Their girlfriends aren't legally trained to be their therapist. But that's sort of, in my experience, what happens.
That is a really, really good point, and saying that, in fact, no one's ever really said that out loud, but that's actually a really good point. Blokes generally do use their missus as the emotional support for fucking everything without even realizing it. And actually, I know a lot of blokes whose birds are literally like the therapist. Any problem, anything that happens, is down to the woman to sort out. She's got to sort out her own shit, her own friendship, everything else, but she's there as the emotional support and rock for the fella. But what the fuck is he doing for her emotionally?
Well, that's the thing. And I think it's like, it does come down to this, like, it's a, for example, my parents, my dad's got really bad depression. And thankfully, my mum is just very unaffected by life. Like, she's never really had a bad day. But that's thankfully, like, I don't think their relationship would have lasted if she also had her own problems, because there isn't really space in their relationship for that. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, as someone who, I have my fair share of issues and mental health illnesses, it's going to be really difficult, I think, for me to find someone who is that level of stable and can actually be, take on a lot of, I think it's difficult in relationships, because when it becomes codependent, it's because you expect someone to deal with all your problems. No one should ever have to do that. But I wish it was just a bit more balanced in relationships, where it was like 50-50, like the man and the woman are both looking after each other in the same way. Whereas we as women, our responsibility is to like sort ourselves out, go and see a therapist, and then still look after our boyfriends who will never see a therapist. I don't know, it's just a bit of a fucked up dynamic.
Yeah, and I think that's really common. And I think for me, probably part of the reason that I'm single and have been for so long is the fact that I had this idea in my head of this ideal relationship that it is a 50-50 relationship. And a lot of people I know that are in relationships aren't in a 50-50 relationship, and they're putting up with whatever it may be. And I don't want that. I want that 50-50 thing. But that is really hard to get. You can't get that with a lot of people. You can't have that kind of that level of equilibrium that you ideally in your head want. Does that make sense?
It's so difficult. You know, it's like meeting your soulmate. Like, you know, there is probably someone in the world who would be perfect, but the chances of you meeting them are slim. So, you know, my mum gives me my best relationship advice, which is you just have to compromise, basically. Like, you have to communicate and you have to compromise, which...
Love your mum.
I'm, like, definitely not ready to get fully on board with just yet. I'm like, let me just hold out and see if I do meet my soulmate or someone who is just great for me. But she's like, in the real world, that doesn't happen. You have to meet someone, you have to work it through with them. You have to make sure that they're... you know, they can handle you and you can handle them. And it's just a fucking lot of work, to be honest.
I think compromise is really good, but it's compromising on the bits, the core values that you have between two people, the bits you shouldn't compromise on. They're the bit you should be on the same page of. All the other fucking fiddly bits are the bits that you can compromise on, I think, but the core values of what you both stand for and what you both believe, if they're not the same, it's really hard to compromise on that, because then someone is always feeling lesser or more powerful or whatever else. So if you get the core values, the rest of the fucking shit, do you know what I mean? That's what you can compromise on. If they don't like fanny fighting, but you do, then do you know what I mean? You can compromise on that because it's not a big deal.
Oh, completely, completely. And that's the thing. It's like there are fundamentals. Are you someone who I can feel supported by? Are you someone I can trust? Are you someone who respects me and I respect? Like, that's like the fundamentals, and then everything else you can sort of work through. But fucking hell, it's so long. Relationships are... exhausting.
Great. So we want to play a game with you, because I could talk to you all day. This your knowledge is just phenomenal, but really want to play a quick game with you, if that's okay.
Of course.
So every week we get our guests to play a game called Love the Way You Lie. So we would like you to tell us three stories, one of which is a lie. Pete and I get a question each to per story, and we have to guess which one of your stories is the lie.
Now, in previous weeks, what's happened is we've discovered that Cece is like Sherlock fucking Holmes. and evidently, I'm sick as fuck and can't understand anyone saying and always get it wrong. So I'm hoping you're going to be my comeback.
I'm just asking, right? And I'm hoping the answer is no, but have either of you read my book?
No.
No.
Okay, good. That's good. Because just like, otherwise you'll know which ones are true.
This isn't like Ross, where he's pretending he's read everyone's book and died.
I know.
Yes, do you know what I mean? No, you really fucking haven't, mate. Yeah,
it's
so good. Yeah, yeah. And you know the producer's just sat in the background and gone, tell him this bit was really good.
I always catch people out anyway.
Okay. Right, let's do it. Story one.
Number one, I was once dating a guy, and at the time I did lots of videos where I would impersonate Theresa May, and we were having sex, and he pleaded with me.
He
begged me to do my Theresa May in bed, and I did it.
Okay,
so that's sick. The first one. The one, second Theresa one. May. I once matched a guy on Bumble. This was a few years ago. Went on a date with this guy, and it turned out I'd already slept with him, but I'd forgotten that, and he reminded me of that and thought that like we both knew that we'd already fucked. Okay.
Amazing.
Okay. Thirdly, so number one, Theresa May. Number two, yeah.
Bumble.
Forgotten sex.
Yeah. and then the third one is I once, these, honestly, I just come up as such a slut. I once.
You're in the circle of trust, babe.
I once got with a guy and basically before we had sex, he told me, because my dad works in politics, he told me that my dad is a fucking waste man and he hates my dad, and I still had sex with him.
Okay.
What a woman. What a woman. I love this.
Okay. So question one for me on story one is... can you do the Theresa May impression for me now? Because I want to see if... Okay. I just want to see if it arouses
it's
me.
It's not very good. This is part of the joke, was that I was really bad at it, but it was like, should we just go and run through a field of wheat? Or has anybody got the budget box? Or we've got the budget box here. That was my...
Well, listen, I'm love hard. It. So, Cece, your question.
My question is, did he come when you did the impression?
You know what? This is a lot of information, but he didn't. He went soft.
Oh, God. This is fucking sorry, fantastic. Well, absolutely fantastic.
That's his fault. Why did he ask for it? Do you know what I mean?
And don't worry about it.
Can I ask another question? Were you offended or were you pleased?
At that point, I was. You know, when I was younger, when people went soft, I took it very fucking personally. And I was like, right, can you fill in this form and tell me what went wrong and what happened? Yeah. Now I'm obviously like, that's so fucking normal. Like, it was ridiculous that I was ever offended.
Don't worry about it, because after that impression, I'm currently hard enough for the both of us.
Pete's going to switch off in a second.
Yeah, hold on. If you hear some heavy breathing in the fucking video goes, don't worry. Story two, forgotten sex. How bad was the sex that you forgot about it?
It wasn't, I genuinely, once I was reminded, I was like, oh yeah, I remember you. But there was a period in my life where I was just so out and about and getting really fucked and taking loads of drugs and drinking loads of alcohol. And I was only about like 19 or 20. And there was a period where it was like every week I slept with a different person. And he just happened to be in that. I remember it was in a random bedroom in a house that neither of us lived in at an after party. It was rancid and gross. And nice. I had to get the morning after pill the next day.
Oh, okay, God, lovely. DC, question.
At what point did you realise you'd slept with him? Was it whilst you were having sex with him?
No. It was as soon as I got there. We spoke about it. Yeah, it was as soon as I saw him.
You weren't that fucked then. You remember, at least you remember his face.
I think you remember a face when you see it in the flesh.
You just don't remember the dick.
Very different on his Bumble. Exactly. He looked very different on his Bumble. He had much longer hair. He'd obviously grown up a bit. And then I saw him and I was like, oh, thank you. Sorry.
And question three, bloke hates your dad, but you still fucked him. did you put in a good performance on behalf of your dad?
No, you know what? I was such
Did you think if I suck you off really well, you might like my dad? Dad, no. This is for you. Or...
I was a bit of a bitch because I was like, we'd left a house party and then on the walk to his house, we were in Brighton, uni student vibe. and he said it. And then I was like, I'm going to sort of hate fuck you now because I'm angry, but I'm not going to go back to the party without a story to say I fucked him. So we go to his house and I was really thirsty. And I said, can I have a glass of water? And he got me a Tupperware of water, right? And I was
a Tupperware
like,
box?
A Tupperware, like, exactly, filled with water. And I was like, am I a dog? Like, am I supposed to fucking, like, lick this up? So I was just really angry and the sex was bad. And I was like, have you got lube? And he was like, I don't need lube. And I was like, bro, this is why I hate, like, 20-year-old boys. Use lube. Like, this is not comfortable for me. You haven't aroused me enough to just stick it in.
To so be fair.
Very bad.
Spit works just as well.
That is true.
Cece, why am I saying things like that? Cece, question?
My question was it angry sex? But you've already okay. answered it.
I was angry.
Okay, so.
This is hard.
For me, number two, I've done something similar, so I believe that. Number three, I feel like because you've gone in with a Tupperware and water, I feel like that's actually true because you've given quite a bit of information. So I reckon number one is false. I reckon number one's the lie. Cece?
I have changed my mind because I thought it was number three that was the lie, but now you've explained each one so bloody well. I'm wondering if number two is the lie, and I'm praying number one is truth.
Which is the lie?
Number two is the lie. Cece?
Yes!
I'm sorry, but, Pete.
Well, you were going to be my comeback queen.
I'm sorry.
But you fucked it. Now, what's terrible about that is that wasn't true for you, and then I've just admitted that I've done something similar.
I love that for you.
So on that note, fuck's sake.
Brilliant. Thing
is, you would believe that that happened to me. So, like, that's the same.
Yeah, well, I mean, just the first one, though.
The first. I'm so happy about that.
That was very true.
Was he a boyfriend, sorry? Or he was
No, it was. I was just sort of sleeping with him. And then we were at uni together and I then kept having to see him. And I was like, oh, you have a fetish for Theresa May.
Yeah, that's fucking
that
weird.
That is so weird.
Oh, is it? Yeah, weird fucker.
Grace, thank you so much for being honestly an incredible guest. You really have been brilliant. Where can we find you? Tell us anything, book, tell us everything, share, overshare.
Like overshare. Instagram is Disgrace Campbell. I have got a few comedy nights coming up. I've got two in May at 21 Soho. And then
can we come? Oh my God,
yes, I'd love that. Yeah.
In all seriousness, Cece, let's 100% do that. We'd love to. And then can we go for drinks after?
We'll go and get absolutely wasted. I'm also starting a dating night, which is going to be like a cool in real life dating night, like speed dating. And I'm going to like cast it. I want to turn it into a TV show. So I will follow you both on Instagram and DM you all of the info.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but defo come see me do comedy.
Amazing.
Your book, tell us.
My book is called Amazing Disgrace. I'm really rinsing the disgrace thing now, but Amazing Disgrace is a book about shame. You can buy it on every book platform and an audiobook, which I read.
Thank you.
Oh, amazing. Fabulous. Yeah. Well, thank you and your fabulous hair. And we can't wait to see you for one of your comedy nights.
Yes, great. I'll DM you guys.
Thank you, Grace. Babe. Honestly, thanks so much.
Bye. Should I leave now?
In the nicest possible way, fuck off.
Right, see ya.
Bye.
Oh, God, I'm really fine, thanks. Bye. I'm not gonna lie, I love her. I love her.
We do this every week. But again, I love her.
She's already our mate. It's done. It's a done deal. Like, it already.
We're the three best friends that ever. Oh, no, we said we weren't going to sing.
No singing.
At
what point did you decide she was going to be our friend, though?
When she laughed at one of my jokes.
Okay, was that simple? Is that immediate? I got
it. No, it was as soon as her hair came on. That was basically it. And I think she said masturbation within the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that for me was like, I'm sweet with that. So that was our guest, Grace Campbell on Shame. We're now going to move on to listeners' questions and stories. And this week we have some competition winners who are going to tell us their stories live. First up, we have Alexandra Papachristopoulou.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You look fabulous, babe.
Oh, thank you. You guys look lovely too.
Thank you.
We're very excited about this. You are our first ever live listener's story and advice kind of winner. So you are setting the start. You're taking our virginity, basically.
Oh, God.
And it's been it's been a while since me and Cece have heard that. So tell us your story.
Right. So this is my first and only Tinder date I've ever been on. It was dreadful, dreadful. It was in Belgium. We were talking with a guy on Tinder. It was going lovely. He was handsome. I was like, all right, let's meet. We went to a bar. He was lovely. And as soon as we sit down, he just asks me, what are the nationalities of the people I slept with? Yeah, and I thought that was such a weird first question. I'm thinking, you know, nice to meet you. You look nice. Like, how was your day? No. So he just asked me straight away, what is the nationality of people I slept with? I thought, this is not happening. And then he continues by saying, you know, I'm from Morocco. We're the best. We've got the biggest D. And so on and so on and so on. And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? And then he just stands up. He's like, let's go. I've got another place to show you. And I'm thinking, I haven't even like finished my drink. We haven't really talked. What is happening? He walks up the bar and I didn't really know the area I was in. So I just kind of follow him thinking, okay, maybe this is going to get better. We get to this place. And when you come in, there's a reception with like coats. And then in the right, you've got a club. And I'm thinking, is this guy taking me to a club on our first date? And as I'm thinking this, he goes to the reception and he says, I've ordered a room last week. And I look to the left and there's like stairs going up and there's a woman wearing almost no clothes taking money from someone, and I'm thinking, this is not happening.
My God.
I really, really needed to go pee and there was no toilet. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm just gonna go in the room, pee, and then I'm going. We get to the room, as you open the door, the room is like there's red LED lights all over. There are mirrors. It was horrible. On top of the bed, there were swings. It was terrible. I went to pee and I told him clearly, I said, this is it. Like, I'm going to go pee and then I'm out. I go pee and I come back and he's just naked in bed.
Oh my God. I knew he was going to say that.
You know, like the like paint me one of your French girl. He's just like naked. And I'm thinking, oh no, he did not
get me like one of your Moroccan men.
One of your.
Oh my God.
And he just.
He said to you that the Moroccan men have the biggest dicks. Do they?
Okay, so he actually had a micro penis. I've never seen one before.
Just amazing. This story is just getting better by the second.
The Moroccan micro penis. It's a well-known, it's a rare thing, but...
Oh, wow.
I've never seen one, and it just...
I've never seen one. You lucky girl. But, you've only seen one.
Yeah, but, don't go on a date with me then.
it was just terrible. I tried to like leave, and as I left, he like blocked the door with his naked body. And
his little willy.
Yeah, and I didn't really want to touch him. I was like, "Do you mind just like? Can you?" It took me 20 minutes to get out of there. It was terrible.
Wow. Terrible. So can I ask? Did you see him again?
No, God, no. He messaged me anywhere he could. Facebook, Instagram. He messaged my younger sister.
Oh, at least. Oh my God, this guy!
At least, I mean, it's nice that the story didn't end there, and then he fully turned into a stalker. I really appreciate that level of ambition to make himself the biggest bell end that's ever walked the earth.
Wowee.
Well, we've heard some lovely stories over the weeks. That's got to be up there with my favourite ever first date story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry you kind of got blocked in. I'm glad you got away. I'm sorry you had to look at a tiny little penis. I'm sorry you got stalked for 3 years, but thank you for telling us.
Alexandra, you've made me feel better about my life because I have so many horrendous stories and you've just made me feel better about myself. So thank you. Namaste to you for that.
You're welcome.
Namaste. Namaste.
Thank you, Alexandra. Bye-bye. Take care. Good luck. I hope you remove that image at some point.
I hope so. I hope it's still in there. It's still in there.
Well, that's not something his girlfriends normally say to him. Thank you so much, babe.
Thanks, Alexandra.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, P Digest. Well, this is one of my favourite shows today.
I just know that getting listeners live would be a dream.
Wow. Right, we ready? Here we go.
Next up, we have Chef Joe.
Yay!
Yeah!
My guy.
Right? Yeah, yes. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good.
Our first listener gave us a story of tiny dicks and brothels. So we're excited to hear from you, my friend.
Tell us your story.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm the nicest guy in the world until someone pisses me off.
All stories that start like that are good.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I was dating a girl. We was dating for a while. And then, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're thinking, what the fuck am I doing with you? But you can't seem to just go, see you later, for some reason.
Yeah.
I got wind that she was dating other people, right? I thought, you know what? I've had enough of this, right? You want to date other people? I'll fucking show you date other people. So sorry.
Oh, I like this.
Right? Oh, no.
So I then arranged a meal at my friend's restaurant, right? And we've sat down. So I'm going, look, you're not a nice person. I don't really want to be with you. You obviously don't want to be with me because you're out running with other people, right? She didn't deny it. I thought we'll have dinner. We've then decided to split up. I've then got up and gone, you know what? You go do you, darling. I'll do me, right? And I turned around to the owner of the restaurant and I went, Fevs. I went, she can pay. And she went, I'm not paying. And I'm like, what do you mean you ain't paying? I said, I ain't paying, you're paying. And she goes, let him pay. And the owner of the restaurant, who's my mate, and I went, he's not going to pay. He's on his own table. And she was like, what are you talking about? He's on this table. No, 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 he's on a different table. And two tables up, I arranged a date with a very, very pretty girl who was completely and utterly knew what I was doing. And I went, you have a nice life, darling. Ain't nobody losing no sleep over you. And off I went. And then she sort of just got up and paid.
Oh, my God, Joe!
I think she called me an arsehole or words to that effect.
Yeah, I imagine it was probably four letters and began with C, mate. Wow. That is next level there, bruv. That is,
wow.
That is... Listen, there's nothing worse than a top-notch scorned, is there, mate?
Well, that's right, mate. Listen, if you don't want to be fucked, then don't try and do the fucking.
I'll tell you what, I've got a question for you. She was dating other people then, you found that out. Were you dating other people pre the breakup?
No.
Even though you didn't want to be with her, were you just like, you weren't fucking about?
No, no, no. And that's why I was so intent on getting her, because the chances that passed me by, because I didn't always look like this, Pete, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, not as sexy as you. I mean, you... Pete can say anything and be sexy, do you know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, I can't, mate, trust me.
I bet Pete can say anything in this world and it'll sound sexy, right? I'll give you a quick example, right? Pete, right, Cece, who's right and who's wrong here, right? He can go, look, I've got to get into character. Babe, I just took a shit on your coffee table.
Oh, my God.
I'm a bad man.
Please don't get Pete to say this. Please don't do it. Please.
Cece, you ready for this?
Look at them eyes. Oh, the lick of the lips.
For fuck's sake.
Babe, I just took a shit on your coffee table.
Yes, bruv.
The man. I'm not even respond to this. This is.
CC, try not to slide off your chair. Well, listen, Joe, we love that story. That's one of the most savage stories I've heard for a long time. But
good.
She was. That is payback at its best.
She was fucking about, and I'm here for it. How did you get on with the other bird? Good night.
Oh, yeah. I dated her. We had about three or four dates. That ended really well. And then I met my wife. So.
Oh.
Everything happens for a reason, bruv.
Joe, look, thank you so much. We've run out of time. Thank you. You've been
love you guys.
Brilliant. Take
See
care.
You love you guys. See you later.
Bye, bye, bye.
I love that all our, like, my stories have been topped finally. This is brilliant. We should
today,
do it every week.
We've had some fucking good stories.
Yeah.
Do you know what I really like as well about the fact that we have, we're getting listeners on and even all our guests, is I genuinely, as much as I take the piss about us being in a circle of trust, I feel like we're all a fucking family.
I know,
We are the dating show family.
I know. You know.
For everyone listening, this has been FUBAR Radio, the dating show with the beautiful CC and me, Pete.
And the beautiful Pete. He was talking about how beautiful you were. There you go. Yeah, you moved that little cap of yours.
So thank you again for listening. We cannot wait for next week. And yeah, thanks for all the love. We love you.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care and all the best. Namaste.
Right, should we do it?
One, two, three.
Namaste. No, you stopped because you were waiting for me.
No, we're doing it's the fast one. Namaste, like that, okay?
But don't wait for me.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Namaste.
I mean, look, we're going to work on that, guys.
God. Definitely going to work on that one.